Grace to you and peace from God the Father, our Lord Jesus Christ, and God's Holy Spirit. Amen. The late Roman Catholic Cardinal Cushing told a story of how one day when he was a young priest, he was in a department store when a man collapsed in one of the aisles. Father Cushing ran over and knelt beside him and asked him, "Do you believe in God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost?" This was a while ago, right? The man opened one eye and said, "Here I am dying, and he's asking me riddles." Jewish theologian Martin Buber is reported to have said, "I know what Christians are trying to say by the doctrine of the Holy Trinity, but why do you have to say it that way?" And Martin Luther said, "To try to deny the Trinity endangers our salvation. To try to comprehend the Trinity endangers our sanity." These may be funny or poignant comments, but the point is that this is a challenging day in the church year to understand the theological underpinnings. Trinity Sunday actually wasn't observed until the 10th century, and it was first observed in France. The Eastern Orthodox Church doesn't celebrate it at all. Now, it's not that this is the only day on which we worship the triune God, of course. No, we do that every Sunday. So what are we celebrating today? Well, we're taking out a little time to observe how we Christians experience and understand God. Theology is nothing more than the human understanding of God. Every single one of us, no matter what we have or haven't studied, no matter what we've written or discussed, every one of us has a theology, our own understanding of God. Even atheists have a theology. They think that there is no God. And when we come together as churches, we express our theology through our doctrines. Christian doctrines are positions that Christians have discussed, argued about, and worked out over the centuries. The doctrine of the triune God is basic to all Christians, even if we don't all celebrate it on a day specially set aside. You'll recall that after Jesus ascended to heaven, the disciples were then called apostles. That is, they no longer were solely followers of Jesus. Now they were like ambassadors to the world with God's message of salvation, of forgiveness and grace that Jesus instructed them to spread all over the world to all people. They traveled here and there in the world, preaching about their experiences with Jesus of Nazareth, whom they knew to be the Christ and God the Son. They also preached about their relationship with God the Father and about their recent encounter with God the Holy Spirit and the new relationships they had formed with God the Spirit as a result. We say that one God in three persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, has always existed. That's what the reading from Genesis that we heard earlier tells us. Right there in verses 1-3, we learn of God, that is God the Father. Then there's a wind from God that swept over the face of the waters. That's God the Holy Spirit. You may recall from last week that the word for wind in Hebrew is ruach, and it's also the word for spirit in Hebrew. So wind and spirit mean the same thing in Hebrew. Since the Old Testament was written in Hebrew, ruach, the wind from God, was also the Spirit of God. So just because the disciples didn't have a relationship with Holy Spirit until Pentecost doesn't mean that the Spirit didn't exist earlier. And finally, God speaks creation into being in this text from Genesis. That's the Word, or Word with a capital W, which is how one of the ways that we refer to God the Son. Yet we have biblical authority in two Gospels for the birth of Jesus of Nazareth and for his death in all four canonical Gospels. The Gospels and Acts of the Apostles also tell us that Holy Spirit wasn't available to the Apostles until after Jesus had ascended to the Father, as we heard 2 weeks ago. So how does that mesh with the eternal presence of all three persons of God? We'll get there in a little bit. We also say that the three divine persons are of equal importance. Yet Jesus spoke about not knowing certain things, like when the end times would come, and that only God the Father knew that, so it might have sounded like God the Father had more control. We recite in the Nicene Creed that the Spirit proceeds from the Father and the Son. So again, it might sound like the Spirit is secondary to God the Father and the Son. And we'll get to that in a bit too. The doctrine of the Holy Trinity came into being because as Christianity was taking form during the second through fourth centuries, some people claimed that God the Father existed first. That sometimes would be seen as the Old Testament God, sometimes a God of wrath. And they explained Jesus then came into being, and that was the loving, forgiving, grace-filled God of the New Testament. When Jesus died, these same people said, when he was resurrected and ascended, God took on the form of spirit. These people said that God functioned in human history in different modes, as Father Creator, as Son Savior, and as Spirit Guide. It's not surprising that these early believers were called modalists. It seemed to them that God existed in different modes at different times. But when hundreds of believers, including people who spent most of their time being professional theologians, came together and read the scriptures and discussed their contents, they concluded that the modalists were in error. Even though we have the Bible presenting two birth narratives of Jesus in the Gospels, according to Matthew and Luke, it also describes creation in John's Gospel in the following words. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through him, and without him, not one thing came into being. What has come into being in him was life, and the life was the light of all people. And the Word became flesh and lived among us. And we have seen his glory, the glory as of a Father's only Son, full of grace and truth. So the Word was one with the Father. The Word was present at creation, and the Word was Jesus Christ, who was God made flesh, who became a human being. God the Son existed with the Father and the Spirit eons before Jesus of Nazareth was born in human form. We also know that Jesus told the disciples on many occasions that he and God the Father were one, that if someone had seen him, they had seen God the Father. And he told the disciples that he would send his Spirit to them. So God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit are equal. Now the believers who got together to create a common theology about the triune nature of God said that God is one substance. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit are the same substance. They chose the Greek word persona to describe what these three aspects of God are. And we use the English equivalent of persona when we say that God is one God in three persons, That's what triune God means. It's hard for us to understand this divine substance that takes different forms, since God is other than what we are, since God is not the same as the rest of creation. We can try to explain it only by analogy. For instance, we know H2O in three forms. In liquid, it's water. In a solid state, it's ice. And in a gaseous state, it's steam. It's all H2O chemically, no matter which of the three forms it takes. But the analogy goes only so far, because water, ice, and steam don't have relationships. And relationships are vital to the three persons of the triune God. So a relational example of triune God might be, for instance, a woman who is mother, daughter, and wife. She has all of those roles, all of those persons at one time. And she may be more one than another at any given time, depending upon what she's doing or who she's with. But she's still the same one person all the time, even though she has three aspects. Even this example, though, is limited because it's from our concrete world. And neither an analogy nor an example captures the mystery of the triune God. It just can't do it. We understand that the three persons of God are in relationship. And when we have a relationship with God, it's really an indescribable dynamic, isn't it? Sort of like what we call chemistry between two people who are attracted to each other and who fall in love. And the relationship that we have with God is the one that's most important to us in our lives. So what can we say about the Holy Trinity in this time of stress and strain? The challenge created by the pandemic has brought renewed focus for all of us on the systemic racism of our society, brought to the forefront by both the tremendously higher incidence of illness and death due to the virus among the Black and Brown members of our society, and also due to the focus on the more senseless violent death imposed especially on Black men by police in our country. And now days of protest against these practices throughout the United States. There has been violence against some passive protesters, not only by police, but also at the request of our president, so he could walk across a square to take a pandering photo for himself. And he's given out more threats of violence against protesters. Dominate them, he says. All of this is trauma, and all of it is met by God's eternal mission in the world, to love, to save, and to bless the entire world. That mission was made concrete in God's creation of heaven and earth. It was renewed with the people of Israel through God's promises to Abraham and Sarah. And it is renewed with us, even today, every day, in God's presence and promises, even as we sit in isolation, being accompanied by the Holy Spirit, even as we work on the front lines of virus containment, living out the ministry that Jesus taught us, or as we are marching to protest the killing, upholding the love for all life that God the Father has. God continues to be in relationship with us as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, doing the work that sustains all of creation from moment to moment into the future. So even if it's not really possible for us to describe the Holy Trinity in words that relate exactly to our human experience, we understand being in relationship, and we are in relationship with God. On the other 51 Sundays of the year, we worship God rather than hearing a point-by-point explanation of the doctrine of the Holy Trinity. But today, we dwell a little bit in the theory and the theology. And we can thank God for creating us, for loving us, for saving us, for blessing us, for coming to us in human form so that we'd have an example of how to live our lives in love, for dying on our behalf so that we would receive forgiveness for all those things that we do that aren't life lived in love, and for staying with us through thick and thin, no matter what happens. That's living in the joy of the Holy Trinity. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. His people through our baptism into Christ. Living together in trust and hope, we confess our faith in the words of the Nicene Creed. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven. By the power of the Holy Spirit, he became incarnate from the Virgin Mary and was made man. For our sake, he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day, he rose again in accordance with the scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son. With the Father and the Son, he is worshiped and glorified. He has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy Catholic and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sin. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
Lord, listen to your children pray. Lord, send your charity in this place. Lord, listen to your children pray.
Into unity with one another and the whole creation, let us pray for our shared world. God of community, you form us as your church. Guide our bishops, pastors, deacons, and all the baptized in sharing your life-giving good news with all the world. Strengthen us to be bold in our proclamation. Hear us, O God. Your mercy is great. God of creation, you called everything into being. Sustain this world with your renewing care and move us to do all we can to protect our environment. Sustain scientists working to find a cure and vaccine for COVID-19. Move our federal government to work with state and local governments and with global efforts to address, combat, and control the death and destruction of the virus. Hear us, O God. Your mercy is great. God of counsel, all authority belongs to you. Encourage the leaders of this and every land to seek peace, equality, and unity, especially assuring peaceful protesters to exercise their constitutional rights. Instill wisdom in advocates who work toward justice, especially for Black and Brown communities in this country. Motivate us to find homes for the tens of thousands of people who are homeless in New York, and to work against mass incarceration, especially during this pandemic. Hear us, O God. Your mercy is great. God of care, you created us in your image. Help us see your likeness in one another. Open our eyes to see and attend to all who face oppression and suffering. Console, heal, and nourish all who are in need. Especially today, we pray for Dina Marie and Dylan, for Gianni and Delmi, for Nancy and Maria, for Karen and Lillian, for Robin and Dora, for Mark and Claire, for Charlie and Donald, for Carol and George, for Loretta and Colin, for Desmond and Sonia, for Roxanne and Verna, for Holrick and Rose, for Patty and Warren, for Jerome and Brenda, for Hannah and Carol, and all others known to you, if not to us. Hear us, O God. Your mercy is great. God of faith, we lift up those who are preparing for baptism and First Communion, especially Shalon Mitchell, Shalana Mitchell, Alexa Sofia Argueta, Anderson Colindres Recinos, Kevin Castillo, Daniela Castillo, and Luis Castillo. Hear us, O God. Your mercy is great. God of consolation, we lift up all who mourn, especially the Moore, Chung, Oxford, Jones, Mayrhoff, Arbery, Taylor, Floyd, Green, Cutler, Flores, Marquez, and Tulloch families, the people of Iglesia Sion San Pedro, who mourn the deaths of 44 of their members from COVID-19, and the members of Redeemer St. Albans, who mourn the death of more than 30 of their members, and the families of other coronavirus victims. Give hope and comfort to coronavirus patients who are fearful, suffering, or dying, assuring them of your loving presence. Especially we lift up Aaron and Timothy, Evelyn and Rebecca, Maria and Victoria and Gloria. We give you thanks for Freddie's recovery. Hear us, O God, your mercy is great. God of abundance, we thank you for all we receive through the labors of essential workers. We pray for protection of the health and restoration of the energy and spirits of all essential workers, including health and emergency teams, chaplains, hospice, transit, postal, utility, government, media, bank, daycare, funeral home and cemetery workers, firefighters, law enforcement and corrections personnel, truck and delivery drivers, employees of markets, restaurants and pharmacies, and all of the people who clean essential locations. Grant them renewal when their workday is over and keep their families safe. Hear us, O God, your mercy is great. God of Providence, bless feeding ministries that our congregation support, especially Lutheran Social Services and Nassau County Food Pantries. Move us to contribute as we are able. Hear us, O God, your mercy is great. God of companionship, you accompany this body of faith. As the rhythms of summer begin, protect all who are able to travel when lockdowns are concluded. Renew all who will enjoy a time of Sabbath and shelter all who will not be protected from the sun's heat. Hear us, O God, your mercy is great. Now you are welcome to add your prayers.